Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by John Bacon.
First of all, can I get everyone on the front row, if it's easy for you, to stand up? And then, can I get you all to sit down again? I've got such power! Just turn me off. Oh, don't look down. Today I want to talk about authority.
We give you permission to do that, Joseph.
I'm talking about taking authority, not about the idea of there being authority over us, although that comes into it. Authority is when you say something, it happens. You tell the front row to stand up, they stand up. You tell them to sit down, they are obedient, they're good servants. If you're a Christian, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you believe in him as your saviour, you've been given authority. And I've got some verses to prove it. In Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So we are in Christ. And I've got another bit from the Bible. Controversial, I know. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." So we know that we are in Christ, if we're a Christian, and we know that Christ has all authority. So while we're in him, we have all authority. We speak with the authority of Christ. Simple, really. I won't do that. Last time I spoke, I got everyone to tell their neighbour that they were a chair. I had something similar. We won't do that. It's ridiculous because you're not chairs. I've got another verse. "Whoever believes in me..." Yeah. "Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within them." Are you thirsty for streams of living water? Because I've got streams of living water flowing from within me. This is going to be a stream of consciousness. And you have to grab the good bits. Because there's going to be a lot of... John. So yeah, take out the good bits of you. Listen carefully, because I'm going to dump a lot of stuff out. And there's going to be some really awesome stuff. You'll be massively blessed. Amen?
Amen.
We can do better than that. Amen?
Amen.
When I say amen, you say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. It's about taking authority. Amen is about taking authority. A lot of people think that saying amen is how we just stop praying. It's how we say goodbye to God. It's like, "Oh, Jesus, yeah. No, yeah, it's great to hear you. No, we haven't spoken for a while, I know. I was just wondering, it would be really great if you could heal my brother. Like, that'd be great. Yeah, no thanks, yeah. No, I'm busy this week, but I'll see you Sunday. Yeah, amen, amen. No, yeah, I love you too. Amen, amen, yeah, no. So, I'm going through a tunnel. Amen, amen, amen." That's how a lot of people see amen. But it's not how we see amen here, because we had all that list. Amen means "it shall be so," or "let it be," or "we believe that this is what's going to happen." And so when we say amen in the context of me saying, "You'll be massively blessed, amen," and you say amen, that's taking it. That's taking authority of what goes in to your life. And that's something that Jesus gives us. He can say, we can take authority of what goes in and what comes out of our lives. So amen is a tool of authority. Earlier this week, it was a Thursday because I was on the hub. Brian was doing awesome stuff, making all the different coffees. I was also there. And I don't agree with coffee. I drink tea. There'll be tea in heaven because it's good. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Why do you need the milk for the tea? Anyway, I was there. I was in the hub. And a man came in, and he's from a different church somewhere else in the country, he explained. He ordered a cup of tea because he's Christian. And he sat down. He sat down, and once he'd had his cup of tea, he said, do you know anyone who could pray for me? Because he had a fever or something to that effect. And I was right there in my apron and looking very hubby. I said, "Oh, I can, yeah." And then I noticed Shona was also in the room. And so I thought, well, I can pray for him, and I believe that my prayers have power. But there's another power in agreement. And there's another power as well in this guy's faith expectation. If he asks the barista, can someone pray for me? And the barista goes, yeah, me? I think I can help activate his faith if I go, me? And also we have the leader of the prayer ministry here. And they're going to sort you out. So we brought Shona, and we both prayed some really simple stuff. We just took authority over the sickness and we, you know, sent it out in the power of Jesus' name. But the power of agreement is another way that we take authority. And I've got some verses for that. Well, a verse for that, which is, again, in Matthew, it's chapter 18, verses 19 to 20. And it's Jesus talking again. Again, truly I tell you, that's how you know it's Jesus, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So if we have the authority of Christ and we agree with each other, we can ask for anything and God will do it. It sounds like a great deal. I've heard that Dave Thomas is starting a prayer group believing for some football scores. He's calling out what is not as though it will be. But I think we can get into a funny place. I've got another prayer lined up. And stop me when this sounds familiar. Oh, Jesus, yeah. No, yeah, thanks for healing my brother. That was really great. And no, it's been a long time, yeah. we've established that. I've been reading the Bible. And I've found a really excellent verse. And I know that you're a good father and you've got wonderful things for me. And I've got this verse, and it's from Malachi. And it says that you've got these wonderful storehouses in heaven. And I believe that anything I ask for, you will give. Because you're a good father and you don't give bad gifts. And so I've got this proposition, and I think it's a really good idea. And I just want you to hear me out. So, you know, yeah, that's fine, yeah. £1 million. How about that? I mean, £1 million. Imagine what your servant could do with £1 million. You know, I could help people out. I could pay off the mortgage. I could buy a really nice gaming computer. The ministry possibilities are endless. And Lord, are you sat down? Oh, you are, in heavenly places with all authority. Yeah, that's good. Anyway, I want to make sure that you know that, this is something a bit shocking, but if you were to give me £1 million, you know, if I were to be a millionaire, I would not just tithe 10%, Lord. I'm willing to be tithing 20% of that. Imagine what your church could be doing with £200,000. There's a lot of people who are quiet here who pretend they don't ask for God for anything. Everyone who's laughing knows that they've done this, because you don't want to be the last person in heaven. And you get up there and they're all looking at you like, should have asked for £1 million. He was ready. He was going to give you you were the one. You were the one that God was asking to ask that prayer. So we've all asked those prayers. We're fine. But obviously, we're not all millionaires in the building. I'm not sure if any of us are millionaires in the building in the sense of having £1 million in your bank account. So there must be something else coming out of this verse about anything we ask for can be done through God. And it will be done. We need to flip the idea that anything we ask for, anything at all, will happen. Rather, God can do anything we want as long as we ask. God's got a plan. God's got what he wants to do in the world, but he's asking for people to pray for it. That's how we get authority, is we take God's promises and we speak them out. I've got a quote. I like bringing quotes because it makes it look like I read. It's from John Wesley. God does nothing but in answer to prayer. There's some verses in the Bible that suggest that same idea. There's nothing quite as explicit. But the quote is, God does nothing but in answer to prayer. And in Mark 9, this is your homework, because I'm not going to read all of Mark 9 out. But Jesus is with his disciples, and he's just given them this preach. He's just told them, you know, you've got authority. He did the phone call. Everyone laughed. It was great. And the disciples went away, and he told them, cast out demons. So they went away, and they told some demons to be cast out, and nothing happened. So they came back, and they're a little bit, you know, oh, you tell him. You tell him. And James pushes Peter in front, and Peter goes, oh, God. And he's like, what is it? Jesus, didn't work. You know, we cast things out in your name and nothing happened. And what Jesus said was, well, it's because of the lack of prayer. You didn't pray. You went out with your own ideas of what should be happening, and you didn't find out what God wanted to happen in that situation. So true authority is speaking out God's will. It's not just speaking out what we think is God's will. So how do we know God's will? I'm going to ask the children that. How do we know what God wants? I can think of two really good ways. A piece of paper Oh, £1 million. There you go. He's got it. He did the prayer. Imagine if it was my birthday coming up and you wanted to buy me a present. How would you know the kind of things that I want? How do you tell your parents what you want for Christmas? Yeah, asking is one. And the other one is you might have a wish list or something like that. The Bible is God's wish list for what he wants. When he says, you know, go and make disciples, that's God wanting us to go and make disciples. That's his wish list. That's God's will. So we use the Bible to find out what God's will is. And we ask him when we pray what God's will is. And if we're feeling really brave, we can do both at the same time. We can ask God, what do you want? And I'm going to read it in the Word. So with that authority, we can bring his kingdom. Whenever we're speaking about bringing God's will into a situation, we're praying that his kingdom come and his will be done. I've got another Bible verse. Matthew chapter 18 again. This is actually just before another bit. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when we speak God's kingdom out on the world, when we see a situation, we can look at each individual situation and we can say, that's not God's will. I know what God's will is in heaven. I'm going to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. Like we were doing earlier with Pastor Paul, he stole the whole ministry time that I was going to do at the end because it was exactly the same thing. Where we take things from heaven and we're bringing them down into our lives on earth. We must be listening to the same Holy Spirit. So we have been given a great power to release God's kingdom into the world, but with great power comes great responsibility. Whatever we speak, when we speak in power. If someone comes up to you and says, you're rubbish and you smell like bananas, everyone says it, and you go, oh, that might be true. You're allowing that to come in. That's not taking authority of what goes in. If you say, that's not what Jesus says about me, and I don't even have banana shampoo, it's coconut. We've got to take authority of what goes in, and we've got to take authority of what comes out. Mark 11, verse 23 says, truly I tell you, this is Jesus again, catchphrase, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. This week, I've come to the mountain, because this is called the summit. And 2 weeks ago, we threw people into the sea. So we've already fulfilled that promise. So we don't even need to worry about that. I think God's happy where the mountains are currently. But metaphorically, we can look at the mountains in our lives. We can look at things that scare us. We can look at the fact that school's coming up and maybe we don't feel happy about that. Maybe we should. Maybe there's debt, or there's sickness, or there's something negative. Maybe your boss at work is being really mean. That's a mountain in your life. But you have the authority, and it says right here, if you believe in your heart that you can take authority in that situation, it will happen. It's good. So it's a case of us as a people realizing the authority, the power that God has given to us. When we're praying, we're not saying, oh God, my boss, he's really mean, and my teachers are really mean, and I don't really know what to do, so can you sort them out? You know. Yeah. No. God's asking us to take responsibility of the things that happen in our lives. I'm not saying that things are our fault, but I'm saying that if we take the responsibility, if we take the power that God has given us, we're going to see it change. It's very practical. It's not about who's at fault, who's winning, who's losing. It's about how we're going to change it. And anyone who can do it. I'm not talking about something that we ask our leaders for either. This is something that each individual person in this room, me included, we need to take that, we need to listen to it, and we need to say, okay, I'm going to take authority. I'm going to take over authority in situations. I'm going to take over authority over that person who's not saved, who's my friend. I'm going to take authority over what people say into that. I'm going to take authority of the politics here. We can have that. We can do that, and it will work. I'm going to bring it in for a landing now. And, 10 minutes, there you go. With a practical demonstration of power. And I'm not going to do it. Other people are going to do it. What I want you to do is, with the people around you, and please make sure that no one is left out, and Pastor Paul, you can come up once I get people started on this. once we've make sure that no one in your row is left out, get into groups of two or three or something, and very quickly tell someone else something that they can pray for, that they can speak in authority over in your life or in your situations or something like that. So don't give your life story. If you've got five family members and they're all fighting and these are the different reasons, just say, my family. We'll keep it simple. And then when someone says that to you, we say, okay, thank you, Jesus. We're going to take the authority in this situation. We know that that's not what happens in the heaven, so we're going to take the kingdom of heaven and we're going to put it in this situation right now. We thank you, Lord, for that authority, and we declare it in Jesus' name, and you declare whatever it is. And it's that quick, it's that simple, and when we walk out of this room today, a lot of things will have changed. So go ahead and start doing that now.
Praise God. Okay, I've got a question just to finish with, and then a little bit of good news. Question. If we have authority to pray, just like this, as John has said, why are we bothering to fast? Don't you think that's a good question? Why are we going to pray and fast if we can just take authority like this? Why don't we just take authority? And I'm just going to share a little bit of an answer very quickly, but you saw the answer in what John did at the very beginning. Do you remember he said, can the front row stand up, please? And we all stood up. Now, if you go to an event with lots of people, say you're at Faith Camp and you stand on the stage and say, let's all stand, you can guarantee that not everyone in the room will stand. All right, because there were some who say, no, thank you, I'm sitting comfortably. John chose the front row, even though the front row is full of the people who have the most senior leadership in the church, as it happens today, okay? Because he knew that when he said it, we had given him a position of authority to speak, so he knew he would do what he said. Where am I going with this? Where I'm going with this is he chose the people who had the most authority because they knew how to be a people under authority. So how do you learn to use authority in prayer? You become a person who is under authority. And that's why we fast. It's about placing ourselves under God so that we can use his authority. That's why he chose the front row. And if you want to be in authority, if you want to be, you know, in leadership within any organization, but especially the church, the way you learn that is by coming under authority. Because those are the people God raises up. Because those are the people he can trust. Because you have to be under God's authority, and you have to be under the authority of people that God has placed over you. I'm not talking about blind, cultic obedience. I'm just mentioning how to recognize authority. So we had recognized John's authority, so we stood. Even though in theory, the authority chain was the other way around. It wasn't at that moment. So that's why we fast and pray. There are other reasons, but that's just a little one. We're going to finish in just a second. Last week, we showed all the pictures of the baptisms for everybody to see. And we're going to put those up again at the end. But just before we do those again as well, this week we've got all the dedication photos because it was all the dedications of Noah. So you can have a quick look at those at the end as well if you'd like. They're going to go up and then the baptisms. And before I do that, a little bit of good news that I mentioned. You remember the summit offering that we had? Seems like a lifetime ago. We've had so many holidays and events that we haven't even had an accurate feedback from it. I will give you that next week. I'll give you the latest figures on where the summit offering is. But just to encourage you, one of the ones that wasn't fulfilled was the £3,000 for the heating. Do you remember that separate category down in the creche there? That was roughly halfway there. But just recently, this past week, a lady who doesn't come to this church but values the work that the creche does in our community, gave the rest of the money. So, isn't that amazing? One of the large ones on there was obviously to get that fixed. And praise God, it's all there. So we should be able to get it done before it gets cold. By the grace of God. Pray for that one too. Have an absolutely fantastic week. Let's enjoy the photographs. Enjoy your coffee. Or your tea, or indeed your smoothies, or your milkshakes, or whatever you want. Let's enjoy the photos. God bless. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.